This is Dr. Kathy Forte, and today's date is June 15th, 2017. Once again, I have with me timeline reader, intuitive, remote viewer, and author E.M. Nicolay, who I'll refer to as Jean as I have in the past. Today's topic is Antarctica and just what is happening under the ice of that mysterious continent. We know that over 30 years ago, the Russian government was the first to start drilling down through about 2.5 miles of thick ice on Lake Vostok, which is a 20-million-year-old lake they discovered under the ice in Antarctica. Well, in the last 2 years, many countries' top political and religious leaders have suddenly found a reason to visit Antarctica, and the word is out that they may have found a prehistoric civilization under the ice along with strange bacterial strains. You know, Antarctica has been on my radar screen for many years, and I always knew that there was something brewing down there underneath there. And so today I've asked Jean to remote view the situation and to see what's to be learned. So welcome, Jean, to back to another in-depth look at another mystery of what's going on in our present-day world.
Hi, Kathy. It's great to be talking to you today.
Now, you've told me that, you know, you did not know anything of what was going in Antarctica. You haven't really followed it. And so asking you to look at it was, like I said, you didn't have any information or preconceived notion of what was going on, but you were surprised at what you did find. And so please enlighten us.
Well, you're correct. I really have not. I've been, of course, aware because I see bits and pieces of people talking about Antarctica, and you yourself have talked about it in the past. But I had really never remote viewed it. I'd really never taken a look at it. You know, we've been focused on other things. It was very interesting when you asked me to take a look at it, though, because I do have to say that so many things came up connected to it that I was a little taken aback and a little bit shocked. And it's so complex and so tied in to a number of different issues that are happening now and have been happening and will be happening in the future that you almost don't really even know where to begin. The first thing that I would say that became clear when we took a look at it was that, and this is something that we had kind of seen in the past, but never really connected back to Antarctica, was the fact that prior to the final deluge, the great flood, and the final destruction of Atlantis, and you have to remember that Atlantis really was in a state of deterioration and was just being destroyed by a series of three different cataclysms that happened over a period of, in the neighborhood of 75,000 years. But the final collapse happened in approximately before 13,000 BC. And what the first thing that comes up when you take a look at this whole entire situation is that Atlantis, during its declining years, had made every effort and had actually established colonies worldwide. Many of the civilizations, such as the Egyptian civilization, the Mayans, there were civilizations in China and India, were actually connected and had connection in terms of the Atlanteans attempting to not only colonize, but to create pockets around the world, because it was a global civilization, where their knowledge and their technology could be stored, knowing that their homeland was ultimately in jeopardy. And interestingly enough, their technology that comes up when you take a look at this was crystal in nature. It was holographic in nature. And what is very interesting is that the technology itself was holographic in the sense that when there was a piece of it in one part of the world, or let's say in one colony, that piece of it actually had components of the entire worldwide technology, so that it was holographic in that it was a piece of an entire puzzle that showed the whole, as holograms do, even when you just took one fraction of it. Now, you have to remember that over time, and with the floods and with the cataclysms that happened, many of the colonies that were established around the world that were Atlantean nature had actually lost their connection to Atlantis. In fact, you know, the Mayans, the Egyptians, what have you, there were remnants of things, but over time the knowledge was lost, the memories were lost, and each one of those civilizations had a specific component of the Atlantean, let's say, wisdom or knowledge that they embodied. So that, as an example, the Mayans were incredible timekeepers and were incredible astrologers, as other civilizations were, but in particular timekeepers, universal timekeepers, and that was embodied in sort of the core of what was passed on, even though they forgot where it actually came from. Now, this is just to give some background, because what happens when you take a look at the Antarctica connection, and this is so interesting to me, is that you remote view it and you don't automatically see Antarctica. What comes up immediately is the Middle East. And in particular, for some reason, although I think the reason that I saw, for some reason, Saudi Arabia, and something that was part of this holographic technological component that had been found and removed and somehow had been buried under the holy site, or a holy site in Saudi
Mecca.
Arabia, related, yeah. Yes, to Mecca. Now, this piece of technology comes up looking, when you look at it, as a kind of a shiny black box. And what was interesting about this, as sort of we remote viewed it and it progressed, is that this shiny black box, which again was a holographic part of the technology that was linked to all the other different Atlantean colonies, let's say, had a kind of communication grid, and formed a communication with the structures and the technology that was really situated around the world. And it had several different factors that came up. And the most important one that came up was the fact that it actually was interdimensional, and it was a piece of technology that holographically was able to exhibit extraordinary energy and power, but it also actually could display for you the future. And now, it's so complex that I'm really trying to kind of simplify it and make it sort of understandable.
Well, there was always a technology that, you know, was sort of like talked about covertly, that a number of the countries got a hold of a long time ago. They called it the Orion's Cube. It was to look into the future, and they thought it came from, you know, maybe some alien civilization. They didn't never made a connection that it might have been Atlantean in nature.
I would totally assume that it was another piece of this puzzle and another piece of that holographic technology that is separate and different, but that was representative of the whole as holograms are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, importantly, you have to understand that there are, and we have talked about this in some of our books, I think the fourth book and the third book, System Lords and the Timeline Collapse. Different areas of the Earth are actually portals. They're interdimensional portals. And what comes up as being interesting is that those interdimensional portals are actually based on this interlinked technology. And only human angelics, with their specific DNA code and their energetic profile, are able to actually access and open up these interdimensional portals. So, to make a long story short, when, let's call them aliens, extraterrestrial beings, are traveling interdimensionally and want to come into third-dimensional, interdimensional space in this particular sector of the universe, meaning, you know, Earth and our solar system, these portals need to be accessed. So not only was this holographic technology related to a grid system that encompassed the entire Earth, but it was also an energy source. It also was, because it was interdimensional, it unlocked certain interdimensional portals to allow interdimensional travel, i.e. also time travel, which is the reason why this technology actually was able to show certain timelines that unfold in the future. Now, this is where it starts to get really interesting, and it starts to encompass what's going on in Antarctica. Antarctica is under Antarctica, and what has been found but is being kept secret. There are intact Atlantean ruins. It's not that Antarctica was Atlantis, but it's that Antarctica was a major interdimensional portal and center for Atlantis prior to there was not a pole shift, but prior to a shifting of the actual poles, so it was not complete reversal, but a shifting that then caused Antarctica to freeze over. So this is prior to that period when Antarctica actually was not frozen. And what was discovered are pretty much intact ruins that are filled with this kind of technology, and that are going to unlock a number of different things and create a number of different issues, because that particular portal is still very, very much in use by the extraterrestrials, particularly those from the dragon and reptilian races, the Draco races, allowing them to access, and they're very much using that particular portal to access interdimensional travel to try and infiltrate this particular dimension. Now, when this holographic technological component, this black, shiny black box, which is how it appears when you look at it, was discovered in Mecca, and caused some noticeable, you know, pulsations of energy, and really, actually, even I think there were a number of people who were killed.
Killed, yes. There was a huge stampede, and they came up with some kind of cockamamie reason why it happened, but they said there was like
stampede.
Electrical currents went through the ground.
That's exactly right. That was not it was not a stampede. It actually was the a very clumsy attempt to access the this box when it was found. Now, what happened when it was found, and this is what becomes very strange, is that the people who found it, the Saudi Arabians who found it, actually called on the Russians to come and decipher and show them what was going on. Now, they called on them for two reasons. The first reason was because they have experience in these kinds of metaphysics. They also had a connection to some of this technology that is known in secret circles. But more importantly, they actually were able, when they first started dealing with it prior to calling the Russians, they were able to access a hologram of the future timeline. The future timeline, as you can see in the book that we've that we wrote, Timeline Collapse, shows that the Eurasian Enlightenment and a Eurasian based Enlightenment and Renaissance essentially, I have to say, led by Russia, will, in a certain sense, be what emerges after the West is decimated by many of the coming challenges that are going to take place over the coming century in Europe and particularly in North America.
And this is the reason they went to the Russians, because even though the United States is their ally, they saw the United States as being not going forward into the timeline, into the future of something where the world was leading. Is this correct?
That's exactly correct.
Because so Russia is not their ally, right?
No. They contacted them based on the fact that they saw in this timeline projection, this holographic timeline projection of the future, that the Russians were going to emerge as being pretty much the stars and considered, although it's very hard for us to understand this because you can't understand it the way they currently are, but again, we're talking future line, that the Russians will be considered the saviors of civilization. Because of the collapse of Western civilization that is really taking place right in front of our eyes and will continue to take place slowly over the course of the coming 50 to 100 years. So they contacted the Russians, and the Russians have the same basic belief, but because they are so they're so entrenched in religious prophecy, and because they are also aware of prophecy with regard to Fatima, which also states that this is what's going to transpire, they immediately took it as a religious, they took it as religiously significant. And they proceeded to then call on the church to somehow, the Russian Orthodox Church, to somehow become involved, because they consider this a matter that is not only related to philosophy and to, geopolitical structure. They consider it to be a spiritual and philosophical and religious prophecy that has them leading the world somewhere in the future.
Are you referencing, when you said Fatima, you're referencing that third prediction, which the Catholic Church has pretty much kept hidden about what was going to happen in the future, but Sister Lucia said that should have been released to the public by 1960 at the latest, and which never was.
Yeah.
Or if they did, it was a watered-down version that everyone said, well, this doesn't seem to have any meat to have kept secret. So we know that, you know, the truth was never really out there. So you're saying this is
in the midst of the Cold War, it's highly unlikely that you're going to release a prediction, particularly one that is from Fatima, that says that the West is going to collapse and Russia will save the world.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that now.
And this is essentially what happened. Now, the Russians still have, now this is what's interesting too. Now, getting back to Antarctica, the Russians are connected, the Americans are connected, virtually every major power in the world is connected, although China is left a little bit out, is somehow connected now to Antarctica, and particularly to these discoveries and trying to access more of these kinds of discoveries in Antarctica, particularly after these most recent findings of the fact that there are intact ruins of this nature that are emitting enormous energy pulsations. These energy pulsations, when we took a look at it, emanate from these ruins and are kind of extending and reach as far as Mexico and even a little beyond.
Whoa.
And they have yet to really understand where this is coming from, but what is interesting in this is the fact that they are all collaborating based on the secret knowledge that ultimately the West will no longer be the dominant power of the world over the course of the coming 100 years. And because of that, and this is also interesting, the Americans are there for the most part in an attempt to try and take up some of that technology so that many of the oligarchs who are there and the people who are essentially there for their self-service in order to take this technology and to make money off of it and are not concerned at all with what's going to happen geopolitically, because in a certain sense they know already what is transpiring. And it even comes up when you take a look at this that the reason why, I mean, you know, you have to shake your head at what's going on in this, you know, in North America and in America in general with regard to why would people just be hurling themselves into a devastating state and into, you know, enacting laws and enacting things that ultimately can't help but just unravel everything that's been built over the course of, you know, the last 150 years. And the reason is that they actually are in possession of this knowledge, and in a certain sense, you know, they're making a play of it, but they're really just kind of biding time, knowing what ultimately is going to transpire.
So because they know what's going to transpire, they figure, let's just reap and pillage right where
essentially what's going on. Now, it gets a little more complicated even, because there are aliens involved. And you have to remember that when we take a look at it, there, you know, and this is going back again to the book, and you have to kind of, you know, understand that there are human angelic souls, and they are destined to actually raise their vibrational energy to ascend to a fifth-dimensional version of Earth, which is Terra. And then there are extraterrestrial souls, mostly based in the reptilian and the Dracronian race, who are for their own reasons, which I'm not going to outline here because it's just too complicated, but if you take a look at the System Lords in Chapter 10, it details this, you know, very, very well, I think, with regard to why the aliens are here and what those particular aliens, what their agenda actually is. And to make a long story short, their agenda is to infiltrate the third dimension and to essentially populate this as a homeland while they're attempting to do other things with their own dimension and their own homeland. So what you have happening here is then there is alien technology. Now here's where you have to back up, and you have to say these aliens, who they are participating with, these various individuals, who are leaders in various countries that are leaders, they actually are attempting to infiltrate, but the leaders who are working with them just think that they're getting all kinds of technology for the future and related to, you know, having power, controlling power, what have you. So they are not really truly aware that there is an infiltration happening. They think that they're there with these interdimensional portals learning all of this information of how to open up these portals, thinking that they are going to benefit long term financially from, you know, having this newfound technology. So in a certain sense, they're being fooled into assisting these extraterrestrial groups to infiltrate the third dimension by opening up these portals, because these portals can only be opened up by human angelics. So those who are actually human angelic and not of alien soul origin are actually assisting, without knowing that they're assisting, an infiltration and, in a certain sense, an invasion that will silently take place over the course of the coming, you know, hundreds of years.
I can see how you say, you know, it's gotten really complicated. Yeah. I know when the astronaut Buzz Aldrin went down there, and they didn't actually say why he suddenly went down to Antarctica, mm-hmm. but it was, he was, mum's the word on what he was down there for, and he had a heart attack while down there. But before he had the heart attack, he did tweet on his Twitter page, you know, I've seen it, it's myself, and it is evil. And like about an hour or two later, that was deleted from his web account, his Twitter wow. account, but people had screen captures of it.
That's
and
very interesting. So I wasn't aware of that, but that's very interesting.
What did he yeah. see? I mean, if there's intact technology yeah. down there, do they, in fact, since there was this shifting of the poles and an immediate ice age covered in ice, this particular mm-hmm. continent, do mm-hmm. they also find life forms that obviously did not look human in nature, or perhaps huge human in nature, or what? Did you get a sense of that?
I did not. No, that I did not see. What I saw was there are ruins, and the ruins are on an interdimensional portal that aliens have been using for a very long time. And those ruins have been found, the aliens have been met, and they are actually, in a certain sense, dealing with these particular aliens. I did not get, when we were doing the remote viewing, anything to related to, oh, there's an ancient race, although there is, but there's not actual people living there. I know I've heard somewhere where there is a concept of Middle Earth or Hollow Earth. I did not get any of that.
How about bodies? You know.
No, I did not get that, but then again, I wasn't looking specifically for that, because what comes up very, very strong is the fact that The ruins have been found. The interdimensional portals have been found. The portals are being opened, which is really what is, I mean, if you were to call something evil, that's what's evil. And these portals are being open almost as though it's like opening up the gates. It's opening up the gates and letting in an invasion because of your own greed and because you've been promised certain things or certain technology.
When you say opening the gates, are you talking like opening the gates to off-world species or races forth? Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So that essentially is what comes up as very, very strong. And that is also how this is, the whole entire thing is related to the concept of Armageddon, the end of the world, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, it's not the end of the world, but all of the philosophies, all of the various, religious talk and analogies of the end of the world are all related to this particular transformation and this this invasion that actually is taking place. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about an invasion where, you're going to see aliens marching in the streets with arms. That's not at all what we're talking about. We're talking about an attempt by extraterrestrials to really be able to alter this environment so that they can incarnate in the third dimension. And as I said before, and as I've been saying, most human angelics are attempting to, are intended to ascend to a higher dimensional vibration, which would be fifth dimensional in nature, which then would leave this third dimension open to them, which is precisely the reason why they're here. And then you have to understand that there are a lot of extraterrestrial souls who are already incarnating in human form. And I would go as far as to say that many leaders of the Western world, I'm trying to be very diplomatic, they are actually not human angelic souls. They are actually souls that are related to these extraterrestrials. Now, they have human lives, and they think they're human, and they have no idea, but their soul connection is actually extraterrestrial, and the telltale sign is that they seem to be very erratic. They have no empathy for anybody or anything, and they tend to be seen as very successful by human angelics because they could care less about anything or anyone, and they seem to not have any emotions. And for that particular reason, they tend to be leaders, they tend to be CEOs, because nothing fazes them. They don't care. And so what I'm saying is that these individuals in leadership positions, without really knowing it, are actually in the process of overseeing the fall of civilization as we know it, and setting up sort of what's going to transpire over the coming 100, 200 years. Now, there's something that I do want to say, because this is not all for everyone to be freaked out. Everyone is ascending, and that your intention should be to raise your vibrational energy in order to ascend either after this lifetime or certainly within the next lifetime or two. And as that happens, people are living side by side with those who are going to stay in the third dimension and those who are actually rising to a higher dimensional level.
So are you saying that the third dimension at some time will pretty much be populated by these alien
But you have to understand, and then this is very well described, I think, in Timeline Collapse as one of the last chapters. You have to understand that the Earth knows what's happening, and that ultimately the reason why this is happening is in an effort to actually spur human angelics and make them want to ascend to a higher vibrational resonance and to essentially get them to start having incarnations in the fifth dimension as opposed to the third dimension, this is being allowed to transpire because ultimately, in about the 26th century, there will be a worldwide cataclysm that will essentially bring everything back to zero, and the world will start over. And you have to also remember that these extraterrestrials are really here just buying time, because they have, there are issues that they have with their particular solar system that they have initiated because of their time travel problems. And they are really merely attempting to find a place where they can relocate and incarnate for the next couple of hundred years. They hope for 1,000, but for the next couple of hundred years. And they cannot actually, they are not designated, since they are not human angelic, to be in this sector and be on Earth and be in this particular solar system. So they will only be able to be here temporarily, at which point the Earth itself and the solar system will shake them off, just like just like an animal would shake off fleas. And that ultimately is what's going to happen, because they are not designated to be here, and because they are not human angelic, they will not be able to access the interdimensional portals, and they will not be able to sustain life and civilization here. When that happens, the few human angelic souls that are then being raised up from first and second dimensional levels will then start civilization over, and the world will start again, and it will again be a human angelic population on third dimensional Earth. But in the meantime, most of the people who are currently in third dimensional lifetimes will be ascending, will be raising their vibration, and will be moving on. And with these kinds of things happening as they take place over the coming 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, the majority of human angelics who are intended and who are really destined to move to a higher dimensional level will do so.
Is there any, in the near future or like in the next 5-10 years, going to be any public disclosure about what's really going on in Antarctica, or is that wish fulfillment? A lot of people are trying to, you know, in the disclosure movement and so forth like this, and, you know, it's been kept covered for, you know, decades, and...
What I would say to that is that any attempt... That they will, the powers that be will make every attempt to keep this quiet and to not have it released for as long as they possibly can. As things start to implode, it's quite possible that more and more of this truthful information will come to the surface and people will start to understand what's happening. But if you're looking for, you know, the president is not going to call a press conference to announce that they've discovered aliens. And if people are looking for that, that is not going to, that's not something that we've seen. And I would go as far as to say that if something like that does happen, be very, very cautious about what you believe and what you hear, because it will tend to be, that would tend to be used as a false flag, that would tend to be used as something that is
disinformation
and taking something that is true but using it for purposes of power or manipulation or something else. So be very cautious with that.
Good point, because there's a lot of disinformation going on, you know, in that community right now, the disclosure community, as well as, you know, in the political community. So, you know, I always say, you know, the lesson in life right now is to listen to your own inner voice and be very discerning. You know, because, like I said, there's both sides are putting out a lot of disinformation. And, you know, some people might even say, oh, this might be disinformation, too. Well, if you don't resonate to it, fine, that's fine. You know, it's, you know, we're not trying to put beliefs, stuff beliefs down anyone. You know.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, remember, fear is the deadener.
Yes.
Most of this kinds of information is an attempt to deaden you and to lower your vibrational energy. So you need to be very aware that these things are happening, but not allow yourself to go into that space of fear or allow them to push you into a place of fear, because everything that we do should be in order for us to raise our vibrational energy, to raise our consciousness. We might not be able to control the collapse of the Western world over time, but certainly if we are resonating at a certain vibrational level, we will be able to find safety, we will be able to find like-minded people, we will be able to be where we're intended to be, where we will be safe and our families will be well.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point to remember from all of the interviews I've done with you.
Absolutely.
You know, is that, you know, fear is the only thing that's going to destroy you if you allow yourself to get entrenched or sucked into it and so forth. One question I did want to, you know, follow up on that, you did mention about the environment, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that these forces that may be of alien in nature but in human incarnation, not wanting to somewhat destroy the environment here on Earth as we know it. Can you just talk just a little bit more about that, would do that?
You know, here's the thing, and all I have to say to you is that it's very clear that there is a faction of individuals who, you can call them deniers, you can call them whatever you like, but what they're truly attempting to do is to alter the environment. There are those who would like the environment to be hotter and who would like the environment to be have more carbon dioxide, and I would suggest that this is directly related is it called geoforming, or to altering the environment?
Geoengineering,
altering the environment so that it is more compatible with individual souls that are incarnating, and what I'll call hybrid humans. And those who are not caring about the environment, those who are in the process of just dumping, you know, closing down the EPA and doing this, you know, Kathy, it's really, I mean, I don't want to get emotional about it, but it is rather insane for someone not to want to have clean water and clean air as a basic kind of human right. And for a group of individuals, particularly those who are in leadership positions, to close down the things that would allow you to have clean water and clean air, rather than just be angry, you really have to look at why would anyone want that? And I would have to suggest that this is part of the plan, and that these individuals who are human, they certainly are human, but if you were to look at their soul origination, you would find that their souls are not human angelic, and that they actually are incarnating from souls that are extraterrestrial in nature, and they therefore have a different agenda than most human angelics have.
So the war really going on in the world right now is between the human angelics, as you call it, and the hybrids, ones with maybe, you know, ET alien type of soul origination. And we just really don't know that we're at war with another species,
I guess that's true. I don't know that I'd call it a war, but I would definitely call it an invasion.
Yeah.
And I would definitely... You know, it's funny because you have to picture this as you live someplace, but you're about to sell it and you're going to go to another country to live. You know, just imaginary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, there's somebody down the street who, you know, is planning on taking your house, okay? And, you know, do you really care? Because you're all packed and you got 1 foot out the door and you got your plane ticket already and you know you're moving out of the country. And, you know, do you really care if 2 months later somebody who is from, you know, some other planet is going to move into your house? You know, you might, but you also might not. And so the analogy I'm making is that, you know, you're human angelic, you're ascending. It is the ascension process. It is the time of ascension, the cycle of ascension, the grand cycle. You're going to raise your vibration, your consciousness. You're hoping for your next incarnation to be at a higher vibrational level and to be on fifth dimensional Earth, which is Terra, which is a totally different place, not in terms of location, but in terms of dimensional resonance. You know, you'll be able to live in your house as long as you want until you actually leave the lifetime. So do you really care who's going to be in it after you've moved on and you've moved kind of, you know, to this other world? That's really what the bottom line is. So that's why, again, to say that it's a war, well, yeah, it is, but it's not really.
Yeah.
And ultimately, in the scheme of things, there is a reason that it's happening. And, you know, it will ultimately ensure that you don't come back to third dimensional Earth. Because, you know, I mean, you could get very comfy and not want to ascend and say, no, I think I'm just going to hang out here for another 10,000 years and have some more incarnations. Or you could get a little pat on the back side from, you know, the universe that says, no, we think we're going to move you to a higher resonance now. And why would you fight that? So that's kind of my philosophy about it.
Well, it does make sense. And I'm going to follow up with one last quick question, and then
okay.
We're going to have to wrap this up.
Sure.
And the whole continent of Antarctica, mm-hmm. is it completely filled with this ancient colonization, civilization, or are there only slight pockets of it there? I mean, so if anybody's drilling down, you know, miles under the ice anywhere in Antarctica, are they going to find other remains of
civilization? From what I saw, there are certain pockets where there is more than elsewhere. You have to remember that it was a colony of Antarctica from a time prior to the floods and the pole shift that caused it to become frozen. But I did not see that it's the entire continent. There is more in one certain area than in others.
And no Nazi spaceships down there, because they always said that, you know, the Nazis were the first ones to go down to Antarctica, you know, covert base during the war.
Well, that did come up. But again, you have to look at the alien connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's very clear that the Nazis were actually colluding with certain alien populations. And that I would go as far as to say that the West was losing the war until another group of aliens started working with the West, and it's at that particular point that things changed.
Well, Hitler did believe that, you know, he always kind of said that they were, I guess they had reverse engineered a craft that they said, and they got technology, and they thought that this technology was going to make them win the war. And,
and
then, of course, we
technology.
Had Operation Paperclip, where we then got all of their scientists, raided their scientists, gave them, you know, citizenship in the United States, which a lot of people don't know about, and that's how the United States went forward in all their rocket research and all their space because of what we raided from the German hierarchy of scientists that were all involved in this Nazi by usually, getting them in there. If not, they would be put in prison. But to that they learned through this advanced technology, alien technology. So I know it really gets very, very complicated. We've had this stuff around for a long time, and, you know, it's not in the mainstream, but there's plenty of information out there, even by, you know, military whistleblowers and so forth.
I'd go as far as to say that the alien connection has been there for a very, very, very long time. And it really emerged very strongly. I mean, it was even there during the World War I period, but not as strong as the World War II period when it really emerged. And then ever since that, it has really proliferated, for sure. The thing that I think is important to understand is that the people who think that they are dealing with extraterrestrials and that they're their buddies are the ones who I think really need to think again, because they might be giving you technology, they might be giving you certain things that you can then use to create oligarchs and to make yourself wealthy. However, they have an agenda that you are not aware of. And that, I think, comes across very, very strongly with the Antarctica thing. And it comes up very, very strongly that the Americans are working in Antarctica, not because of any geopolitical reasons, but because they see technology that will help them to be wealthy and help them to survive the coming collapse. Whereas Russians and a number of other world countries are there because of geopolitical conditions and because of what they think is actually going to transpire. So, you know, everybody's got their own agenda, not only in this world, but also in terms of the extraterrestrial world.
Well, as they say, some things never change, right?
I agree.
So whether it's off-planet or this planet, you know, everyone's kind of looking out for their own interest in the leadership or who the powers that be, you might say.
So. Yeah, and, you know, for me, the most important thing to always remember is that there is a reason.
Yeah.
There are reasons that reason cannot know. And this is happening in the scheme of things long term for a reason, even as challenging as it might seem, everything that will happen, including, you know, Western collapse and what have you, it's happening because it is part of the ascension process, and it will ultimately benefit all of us, perhaps not in terms of our physical lifetime, but certainly in terms of our spiritual lifetimes and our souls.
Got it. Well, that's a great place to end right there on that positive note. And Gene, thank you again for your time. You're always a delight and always very informative. I always learn something. You know, I've done some remote viewing myself of Antarctica, but you always fill in the nitty-gritty little blanks. So thank you for your time. And until next time, you know, blessings to you. Go in peace, and let's hope we all get through this without much ado. Okay?
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye now, everyone.